Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus. We're in chapter 20. I'm going to start again, the same place I started last Sunday morning, just for reference's sake, to in chapter 19. I'll skip through it as quickly as I can. There's a lot of ground to cover. This is a series of messages on the Decalogue. And that's a big word, but all it means, it's the Ten Commandments. And you need to understand this Ten Commandments given by God, graven in stone, placed in Moses' hand, and he brings down from the mountain. This is just 10 of the 613 commands in the Word of God. So, you know, there is right and wrong. I think I want to start the message out by emphasizing that this morning. So we're saved by grace. We're saved by mercy. But there is right and wrong. As a child of God, you and I must understand that. If you're here today and you're not born again, or you are born again and you're living in the power of the flesh, I know sometimes life is overwhelming. Sometimes things just kind of comes in waves. And if you're not careful, you end up almost drowning, going down for the third time. I tell you what, Jesus Christ, he's the lifeboat. He's the one you got to swim to. He's the one you got to reach out to. And if you'll reach to him this morning, if you would know, if you did know, if you do know the Jesus that I know, the one that heals the broken hearts, the one that binds up the wounded, the one that understands and was tempted in all points like as yet we were and are. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. He understands and he'll meet your every need. Say, you don't know what's going on in my life, preacher. I don't have to know. Jesus does. And I want to point you to him. I want to place your hand in his hand. If you're here today and you're carrying just a great and heavy burden, say, it's never been like this. Jesus has already been there. Man, and he is there for you. Please, please, the worst thing you can do is turn your back on him. Don't do that. Unsaved, come running to the Savior. Two people saved yesterday. People get saved here every week. That's a grand privilege, truly, to be a Christian and to be a soldier in his army. What a privilege. And I encourage you. I do want to encourage you in that. Okay, let's start reading with chapter 19, verse 1. Says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and for they departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord God called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Verse 4, simply put, man, that is a picture of salvation. He took the children of Israel out of 400 years of slavery, and he bore them on eagle's wings. Man, is that picturesque. There's a metaphor there. Eagles are very affectionate with their young. Eagles many times carry the young on their back, way up there, way up in the air, carry their young on their back. That's what Jesus did. He carried the Hebrews on his back out of the land of Egypt. That is a picture of salvation. When you get born again, God does all the work. Jesus does all the work. And he's already provided at Calvary. And he'll lift you. He'll bear you on eagle's wings. You say, man, it can't be this easy to get saved. It is. Jesus did all the work 2,000 years ago. He did all the work to wash away your sin. And then he sealed it with the resurrection. And he rose from the dead. And he's a living God. Let's go back now to the passage here very quickly. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Then came Moses and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Unfortunately, they failed. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians in chapter 3 that the law is a schoolmaster. The purpose of the law is so that man in his own little pea brain wouldn't somehow figure out that somehow maybe I can get to heaven on my own good works. The law is a schoolmaster that teaches us that we're sinners. We're under grace. This is the New Testament. That's good news. You don't have to keep the law in order to go to heaven. We have an obligation to be more and more like Jesus, but you'll never keep the law. Salvation is not in the law. You want proof of that? I'm alive today. I'd be a dead man were it not for Christ, were it not for Jesus. There's a lot here in this chapter 19, and I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but he says, Moses, God told Moses, you tell the people to sanctify themselves. You tell the people to wash their clothes. 3 days from now, man, I'm going to meet with you in mighty power. I'm going to descend upon Mount Sinai. Tell the people not to get too close. Anybody that comes close will be struck dead. Anybody that comes close, man or beast, will die. And a cloud descends upon Mount Sinai, and thunders and lightnings, and God calls unto Moses, and God gives to Moses the Ten Commandments. Then we get to chapter 20. Now, Moses comes back and he orally shares the Ten Commandments. God is going to write it on tables of stones in just a little while. But right now, first of all, he comes back and he orally shares it, the Ten Commandments. And I think I want to pick up reading, if you will stand with me one more time, and that'll wake you up. And I know it's a little warm in here this morning. If you want to crack a window near you, you feel free to do that. I know some already have. I could use that window cracked right there, Steve, if you could do it. Would you turn those fans on right there? Hit those two switches. That'll help a little bit there too. Let's pick up reading with verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. And the voice of the trump exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the mount, top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish. And let God's a holy God. And if man were to look upon God's presence right there without the blood, it'd have been struck dead. And Jehovah God was concerned about his people. Moses, you go down and tell the people again. If they come unto the mount, if they gaze upon me, they're dead. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through upon to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. God, we come to you now, and Lord, I pray that you would somehow make these words clear. Help me not to muddy things up with my own language. I pray, God, you'd help me just to preach exactly what's here. Our concern and our focus this morning is the second commandment. Lord God, it's not all of the will of God, but it's a big part of it. And I pray that you'd meet with your people and may the truth break in on our souls that you're a great God, that you're a holy God, and you're a zealous God, and we're accountable to you, and we're not to serve any other gods. Oh, Lord, make that real, and God, the idols that are in our lives, may they be destroyed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our God is a great God. What we read here in the book of Exodus about the people not being able to gaze upon God, not even coming close to God. They weren't even to come to the bottom of the mount. They were to stay. As a matter of fact, when God reveals himself in the very next chapter, in chapter 20, towards the end, the people run in the opposite direction of the mountain. I can picture all of this happening. I'm just a 62-year-old preacher man and a sinner saved by grace, and I can't convey to you the holiness of God. I wish I could. But Jehovah God is a holy God. We are a broken people. I am tainted by sin. I have no right or parcel in the things of God. And were it not for the righteousness of the only begotten Son of God, man, I have no part in the family of God. There's no way I could go to God's heaven. But a Savior has come. His name is Jesus. And it's a gift. The gift of salvation is a gift. You don't work to earn it. And if you have to work to keep it, that's not much of a Savior. He is a complete Savior. He provided salvation full and free on Mount Calvary. And I read the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. I read the Scriptures, which is the canon. It's the measurement by which I and you were to measure our lives. And I recognize Ten Commandments here and Tim Rader here. Man, I've broken them. And Jesus said, it's a hard thing. We'll get to that at another commandment. It's a hard thing. If you've done it in your heart, we think if you don't do it outwardly, but you do it in your heart, well, that's normal. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you have broken the law. And I compare myself to the Ten Commandments, and I know it isn't I'm okay, you're okay. It's I'm no good, I'm a wretch, and I need the Savior, the only Savior, the only begotten Son of God. Exodus chapter 20. First commandment, God spake all these words saying, God orally gives these 10 commands to Moses. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No pluralism. No all roads lead to heaven. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not Mary Baker Eddy White. It's not any philosophy. It's not science. It's Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We live in a world, New Testament Christian. You know who saved you. You're saved by grace. If you're not careful, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not attending church regularly, you'll get beaten down by the world, and it won't be long. You'll fall away from God, and you'll say, well, I think maybe everybody's kind of worshiping the same God, and that's not what God says. That's why the second commandment is about idols. God says that is not true. You say, yo, man, you know, our young people falling away from God. Well, we got a lot of young people that haven't fallen away from God. And I want to tell you something. 30-year-olds that stop attending church and stop reading their Bible, they fall away from God too. Right. And 60-year-olds that stop reading their Bible and stop attending church, they fall away from God too. Our God's a holy God. And we are saved by grace. No pluralism. He said, Jehovah God. First commandment, verse 3. Second commandment, look at verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This is the most repeated commandment in all of the Word of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, and everyone has turned unto his own way. Here's how it works for man. We got to worship something. And if Jesus isn't Lord of our lives, we'll find an idol. We'll find another God. And by the way, you'll worship that idol. You say, well, what do you mean? And he's not just talking about graven images in places of worship, which is wrong. He's not just talking about idols and statues in temples and churches. He's not just talking about that. That's why Paul, John said, little children, keep yourself from idols. That's why Paul said in the book of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry. You can make anything an idol in your life. Anything that comes between you and God, that becomes an idol. Anything you give yourself to in abandonment of God and his commandments is idolatry. It can be a person. It can be a place. It can be a thing. It can be a philosophy. Wicked imaginations in high places. Anything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I'm telling you, America is a land of idols. Just as much as Mars Hill in Paul's day. People don't come to church, don't come to prayer meeting, because they have idols in their lives. Worship is adoration. Let me read that. Let's read the rest of the verse first. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now let me, Bible interprets Bible, and I'm going to, this is not talking about necessarily good art. There's nothing wrong with photographs. There have been people that have taken this verse, and that's the only verse they read, and they don't understand what God is trying to convey unto his people. He's talking about worshiping these things. Worship, bowing your knee to them, adoring them, devoting yourself to them. That is idolatry. And if at any point a football team is more, you devote more time to that than you do to your Jesus, I'm telling you, you got an idol in your life. If at any time there's a music that you devote more time to than Jesus and you adore it, and then when it calls your name, you come running, that is an idol. And we're prone to be this way. And that's why John said, again, little children, the last command he gave in 1 John, keep yourself from idols. It's a constant battle. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Jealous literally means full of zeal. God is not a grandpa image in a rocking chair in a cloud somewhere. He is a zealous God. He watches over his children. He's involved in the affairs of mankind. That's why he sent his son. Man, he's involved in what's going on in his church, the church of Jesus Christ. He's involved in worldwide evangelism and his people. He is a zealous God. He is a jealous God. And I want to say something about the latter part of that verse in just a moment. But first of all, he says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Skip all the way down to, go to chapter 32. I can see right now, I don't think that is what I want. I'm looking. Chapter 32 and verse, I'm looking for the passage. Somebody help me, and I don't have it. Oh yeah, here it is, verse 15. Let's just go to verse 15. Start with verse 14. Moses doesn't even come down from the mountain. You think idolatry isn't big? Moses doesn't even get down from the mountain and the people are already worshiping idols. They've been delivered out of the land of Egypt. They've been saved from 400 years of slavery. What a picture of salvation. The chains of sin. And how God has delivered us. And we that are born again. And Moses isn't even down from the mountain with the Decalogue written in stone. And now the people are worshiping idols. They've made a golden calf. Verse 14 says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables, and by the way, God had already shared with Moses what's going on down in the camp. God knows all that is going on in your life and in my life. He says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise, he's partway down the mountain, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And Moses' anger waxed hot and waxed cold. Joshua says, it sounds like there's a war going on down below, Moses. Moses said, that's not the sound of war. People conquering or being conquered. That's idolatry. That's hedonism going on down there. And you know the story. Man, just all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. Let's apply this very, very practically. You got an idol in your life? Something that you adore? Worship? To worship is to ascribe worth to. It's real important. It's a treasure. Worship is adoration. It involves time. Treasure. and thoughts. Time. Treasure. That's your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. That's what Jesus said. Thoughts. That's your mind. What do you think about all the time? Now, what is it that consumes you? It's supposed to be God. It's supposed to be Jesus. Go back again to Exodus in chapter 20. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. He said the second commandment is, you'll make no graven images. Later on in this chapter, he says, listen, when you build an altar, I don't even want you to build it out of hewn stone. In other words, stone that's carved by man. I want you to take the rough stones of the earth and you build that kind of altar. Because everything man touches, he taints. Everything man touches, man, he poisons. And he says, listen, salvation, you keep your hands off of that. Worship of God, you keep your hands off of that. You come my way. You can't worship God any way you want. That's what God is telling his people. And that's what God is telling Moses. So he says, when you make that, and we don't have time to read it. You have to read it. It's at the end of the chapter. We'll get it in another message. You take stones from the earth, just rough stones, the kind you'd find in a field. You take them, untouched by man, and you build the altar out of those kinds of stones. Because the last thing we need in America is man-made religion. And we got all kinds of it. All kinds of it. We got religions and denominations and cults and isms that nobody knows what to believe. I heard one old preacher say this. He said, I can't wait till all the isms are wasms. They're all done, man. They're all over. We worship the one true God of heaven. No graven images. Think how foolish that is. Some of you were saved out of those kind of religions. We're all aware of it all around us. How does anybody know what God looks like? How does anybody know what baby Jesus looks like? How does anybody know those kinds of things? All those paintings, you know, they come from the Dark Ages. They were called Dark Ages for a reason. You know, and for man to devote, to worship, to adore, to bow the knee, to offer time and treasure and thoughts, totally wrong. Totally wrong. The law is fulfilled by Christ. Here's the good news. The moral law depicts the person of Christ. The ceremonial law depicts the work of Christ. Jesus completed it. My total lack of righteousness is found in Christ. It's all made up for by Christ and his righteousness that he gives to me when I got born again. That's a wonderful truth. And all the moral law, the ceremonial law that I could not perform and I could not complete, Jesus came. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. You couldn't keep the law, but I have kept the law and I'm here for you. And I want you to know. And he goes to the cross and then he rises again on the third day after the crucifixion. That's what Jesus did for us. No, do not create images. I got text after text we can't look at this morning, but we don't have time. Number one, don't worship, or number two, don't worship these images. You know, if God received the amount of time that cell phones received, he'd be pleased. If the Bible received the amount of time the internet receives, we'd be a different nation and a different people. We have one God and one that is worthy. No images. And here we are in America and we proclaim this one God and worship idols. And then we call it Christianity. That doesn't wash. We proclaim one God. We ascribe to that truth. There's one God in heaven, Jehovah God. And then we worship idols. And then we call that Christianity. That is not Christianity. We need to come to Christ. There's something here that needs to be said in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Most repeated commandment in all of the Bible. Visiting the iniquity or the sin of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It's passed on. Your kids are going to love what you love. What you tolerate, what this generation tolerates, the next generation will worship. That's a sobering thought. Are you passing on your love for God or your love for the world? That's communicated by what you adore, by what you treasure, by what you invest in. We're to worship the one true God. But here's the good news. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me. It's generational. Let me say it like this. Nobody is saved because mom and dad is saved. Everybody individually needs to receive Christ. I preached that heavy yesterday, knowing the crowd that I was preaching to. But if this generation has an idol or a love that is not God and it comes before God, that's an idol, all right? It comes before God. I'm telling you, the next generation is going to worship it. And Christ will be kicked to the curb. And then that is passed on to the next generation. We all know people like that. Then I was saved out of that kind of stuff. It's, mom and dad got saved, right? And it changed the next generation. And it changed the next generation after that. Now it's three generations since mom and dad got born again in their family. And it's all different than what it was. Completely different. He shows mercy unto thousands that look to him. That's a wonderful truth. Idolatry is a terrible problem in America. Idolatry, let me say this, is a terrible problem in the church. Idolatry was a terrible problem with Old Testament Israel. Again and again, they had to destroy the high places. Again and again, they had to rip down the idols. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. I would tell you this morning, ask you this morning, are you an idolater? Say, no, I love Jesus the most. Does he receive preeminence? Is he first? And if not, you have an idol. It needs to be torn down. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, we come to you the most important time of the service. Oh, God, no distractions, please. God, help people not to take this time to kind of get ready to leave. God, may we search our hearts, not visit with anybody around us. God, instead focus on thee. And all of us, let's ask ourselves the question this morning. Do I have an idol? Say, preacher, I'm a leader here. Preacher, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Pastor, I'm in the choir. Pastor, I do this, I do that. That's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, do you have an idol? Maybe many. Does Jesus get the leftovers? If there's an idol in your life, as the under-shepherd of this church, I'm telling you, in order for God to bless you the way he desires, in order for us to experience real revival, in order for this to be a great fall, you got to tear down the idols. Your family deserves better. And put Jesus first. Again, I'll say this, it might be a person. It could be a child. It could be a loved one. No idols. Father, would you bless in this altar call right now? And God, I pray there'd be a great surrendering. And then, Lord, along with the surrendering of your people, giving up idolatry, Lord Jesus, would you, if there's someone here not born again, we pray that you'd give them the strength, the courage, the desire just to step out, come down to the front and say, I want to get saved. Just walk up to me and say, I want to get saved. And I'll have someone lead them to Christ this morning. We pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise him, all creatures, hear me now. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.